ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
This is clearly a significant moment for the club. We understand the disappointment and frustrations from our members and our fans feel, and we know that results and performances have not met expectations from this proud club.
Dragon CEO Tim Watsford announcing that the club and coach Shane Flanagan have mutually agreed to part ways after a 0-7 start to the year. The Dragons have lost 11 straight matches, their last win over the Sharks in 2025, right after Flanagan signed a contract extension. He didn't make it to that extension. We've only made it through 7 rounds this season and we've seen 2 coaches moved on already. Can the Dragons follow in Manly's footsteps and change their 2026 fortunes with a change at the top, or do their problems run much deeper? I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily. Michael Carayannis writes about rugby league for News Corp and MC. The Dragons have come out today and said they have mutually agreed to part ways with coach Shane Flanagan after just 54 games at the helm, along with the general manager of football, Ben Haran. Can you walk us through this decision from management?
Yeah, obviously big news out of the Dragons this morning, and I don't think anyone's shocked by it. It had been coming because the Dragons just kept losing matches and 11 straight losses now dating back to last year. So it's been a bit of a horror show for St. George Illawarra over the past few months, and culminated in two big scalps: the head of football, Ben Haran, and coach Shane Flanagan.
I want to begin by confirming that head coach Shane Flanagan and general manager of football, Ben Haran, have departed the St. George Illawarra Dragons by way of mutual agreement.
Flanagan was re-signed the week after they beat the Raiders and before they beat the Sharks in round 23 last season, which actually just happened to be the last 2 wins he coached them to.
Party time at Cogra. What a celebration. For the first time in 11 starts, after 10 straight losses, it's a drought-breaking derby win in most impressive circumstances for the Dragons. In the week they re-signed their coach, Shane Flanagan, this is the players saying, Flano, we trust. It's a big win for them.
He didn't actually even make it to that extension. How did we get from those results to today?
It's unbelievable. It really is. Who would have thought that he would have been sacked before, or parted ways with the club before he won another game after inking that contract extension? It was just unheard of that was the case. So, yeah, it's a surprise, no doubt about it, back then. But given the way the season's transpired, they just can't find a way to win games.
Gold Coast 22, St. George Illawarra 14. The Dragons remain winless.
That's the issue. The roster's not great. And as a result, their coach is no more.
The CEO and chairman were at pains to stress today in the press conference that this was a mutual agreement.
Can I make the point? We've already made the statement. You say moving on. That's not what we just said. We talked about a mutual agreement. And as I said, we've been speaking with Shane and the football staff along the way. This is not something that you just do because you choose to on a Monday morning.
How mutual do you think it really was, or is that just a big saving face exercise for everybody?
I think Shane knew his time was up. There's no doubt about that. I think he felt, he'd got the best out of the playing group, and those days of trying to fight his way out, because he was, a month ago, he was quite steadfast in his belief that he could turn the tide.
All I know is I can just do my best, and that's what I do every day when I go to work, making sure that we prepare the team the best we can. It hasn't worked so far this year, but I'm not going to give up.
I think he came to the realisation that perhaps this was a task a little bit too hard for him now.
He did say a week ago, he thought he hadn't lost the dressing room.
Players have taken ownership. We haven't lost the dressing room. We had a good training session today. We're in good meetings. I've got good relationship with all my players.
Do you think that is the case, that he genuinely felt like that, or was that a line trotted out by a coach who knew he was in trouble?
No, I think he felt like that. Whether or not that was the reality is different, right? But no, he definitely felt like he still had the support of the players and was pretty adamant about that. But the issue has been the players just aren't responding.
Tackle made over the touchline. Well, here's the answer to your question. Full time, Dragons get flogged. Well, can't remember the last time I heard that for a home team.
It's not the greatest roster in the NRL. It is probably the worst roster in the NRL, and these are the flow-on effects of it.
He said recently as well that if someone better was out of the side, I would put them in, trust me. What was he dealing with talent-wise on the park? You mentioned their roster's probably the worst in the comp. So was their problem his coaching, or was him moving on just sort of a circuit breaker for what is a bigger problem with their talent and depth?
Yeah, there's no doubt. Like I sort of intimate, I don't think it's a very strong roster. I think the roster's quite poor and not balanced properly. And the fact that, you know, he's got his high-end recruitment wrong, and he's much to blame for that, Shane Flanagan, no doubt about that. So was it coaching? Was it the roster? It's definitely the roster, and maybe it's a combination of coaching as well.
We keep turning up on Monday, mate, and we just keep working hard. And that's what I'm so lucky as a senior player here that we have such a great bunch of guys that have got a great attitude, these young boys. Great head on their shoulders, and we just keep working hard, keep doing what the coach is doing, keep learning, and just keep pushing harder, and things will turn, mate. You keep doing the right things, it'll happen.
So in that dressing room is also his son, Kyle. How difficult do you think this would be for him, because he's going to have to front up on the weekend with this club?
No doubt, no doubt. Kyle was one of the first players in through the doors this morning, though, knowing what he would face, I guess, more than most. You know, he knew that his dad wouldn't be the coach this weekend. The players were unaware. When they came to Wollongong for training this morning, by then the reports had already broken that he was no longer going to be the coach. But it's tough for Kyle. They're a close family.
Kyle's a contracted player through to the end of 2027, and yes, we will provide every means possible to support Kyle, and as we have, and will continue to support Shane.
Kyle's been the brunt of lots of criticism of late. He's a good kid. I know him well. I like him. He's very respectful. So hopefully this is a bit of a break for him as well, away from that scrutiny surrounding his dad and selection and these sorts of things.
Why do you think the club chose now? They've got the Anzac Day match this weekend and then they have the bye. Do you think that they could have waited the extra week and gone into the bye and dealt with this? Or why do you think now is the time?
I think in an ideal world that would have been the play, but I think it's just too far gone. I think the situation is just too far gone. I think Shane had come to the realisation that he wasn't the best man to coach the club anymore. And once you come to that conclusion, well, there's no other option.
When things are going bad, they're going bad. And, you know, some of the young boys got a chance tonight. You know, they tried hard as well, but we're just not getting it done. You know, we can try hard. That's NRL's not about trying hard. I think every team, every person in the competition tries hard. And you don't get points for trying hard.
They said this morning that they haven't made a decision yet on their interim coach. Do you think they'd be looking across at Manly, who sacked their coach, handed Kieran Foran the reins for the time being, and just kind of watch them climb up the ladder? Do you think they'd be hoping they have a similar result? What's the bar for them this season?
I guess to win a game would be a start for them. But no, I don't think they'll be able to replicate what Manly have had, because Manly have got this roster that had underperformed. Right. Whilst the Dragons have underperformed, I don't think anyone had them as, you know, top eight hopes at all. So that's the way this has played out. Now, where Manly have got some really elite talent that can win a game for them, the Dragons don't have that. So, yeah, there's no interim coach yet.
We will communicate our interim coaching arrangements following discussions with our coaching staff today.
There's a board meeting tomorrow. Hopefully they can work it out before then, because it is a little bit embarrassing to not have anyone in charge of your footy side, even if it is for 24 hours.
So what are they looking for in their next senior coach? When they sit down and start this search and they've got the rest of this year to do it, what are they looking for?
Well, that's going to be the interesting thing, right? What do they look for? What do they need to do? How it needs to play out? You know, it's probably two options. One, Dean Young, who's the assistant coach at the moment. And, you know, if they do give him the job, he'll be catapulted into the interim capacity in the short term. The other one is Ben Hornby, the 2010 premiership winning captain, who's now Wayne Bennett's right-hand man at South Sydney.
I think whoever takes control of this club understands that there will be a significant amount of pressure and expectation, and rightly so. Our job is to get to the right solution, ensure that we've got the right person and people in charge of this organisation.
They're probably the two leading candidates. I wouldn't assume that there'd be anyone else really in the mix. They're the two.
If you were an assistant coach, say, at another club across the competition, would you be looking at the Dragons and thinking they are a possible destination club for you, or would you be looking at them thinking, geez, that's going to be a hard job?
I think the benefit around it is that there's not a lot of players contracted long term, so it's probably only a little bit of pain. Usually when a coach comes in, a new coach comes in, he's got to wear 2 or 3 years of pain because of legacy contracts. That's not going to be the case here. The guys that, you know, I was probably critical of in terms of their deals, they expire at the end of next year. So it's actually not the worst spot or the worst club to be at.
If you're someone like Keon Kolomatangi who is heading to the Dragons next year, what are you thinking?
Well, I spoke to him on the field for ABC after the game on Saturday, and I asked him that question. Are you still committed to going to the Dragons?
Yeah, I'll sign a contract. I'm going to be there. So I obviously got 1 more year here and 5 years there. So obviously a lot can change in a year, but I'll go here. I'm not doing anything.
But no doubt he'd be having some thoughts going, oh, would I really be making that same choice again?
Where does it leave the club more broadly? They won their last premiership, as you say, in 2010. Do you think that this move has moved them forward closer to competing, or do you think it has set them back?
They're no closer to competing this week, even, like without Shane there. Like, so, as I said, they need a rejig of the roster. They need a rejig of that roster desperately. And without that, there's no chance of competing anytime soon.
I'm going to speak to three groups, to our fans, our supporters and our members. Our results on the field and our performance is not to your expectation. It is not to our expectation, and we're clearly taking steps to address this.
What do they need apart from, you know, an upgraded roster? But what do you think that this club does need on field or off field to be back competing in the pointy end of the season?
On field, it's definitely, like I've been banging on, is their roster, right? Like, they just need to rejig it, get some top-end talent in, like Keon Kolomatangi. Off the back of that, they need, you know, a bit more stability. The board, it is legacy issues with the board from either side of it, which is continued. But I'd say the number one factor would be, or is, some top-end talent.
Michael Karyannis, 2 coaches in 7 rounds. The NRL really is a roller coaster. Thanks so much for picking us through this one.
No worries. Anytime.
Headlines. Staying with NRL, and we are at the point of the season where injuries draw origin availability into question, and Payne Haas has been ruled out of the opener with an MCL injury that will keep him out for 6 to 8 weeks. Add to that Tom Dravojevic's hamstring injury, and the New South Wales team might have some fresh faces this year. Speaking of injuries, the AFL was no better, with the big news being the Western Bulldogs confirming that Sam Darcy has indeed ruptured his ACL and will miss the rest of the season. Carlton have ruled Elijah Hollands out of their clash this weekend with Fremantle after he experienced what the club are calling an unprecedented mental health episode during their match against Collingwood on Thursday night. The AFL has asked the club to investigate and share their findings with the league. Former NRL star Zach Lomax, who actually once played for the Dragons, had his first start in Super Rugby for the Western Force after coming off the bench last week. It would seem he's adapted well to the code switch, scoring a try in their thrilling comeback over the Crusaders.
Here's Donaldson, flaps it across, here's the moment, Lomax in the corner, welcome to the West!
There has been a lot of chat about sprinting on this podcast recently, and you know what? It's not going to stop. As long as we have Australians running super fast, and Eddie Nkea has added his name to that list. He broke the Australian all-conditions record over 100 metres, covering the distance in 9.84 seconds. But an illegal tailwind means it won't count as a national record. Patrick Johnson's days as the national champion appear numbered. In the Premier League, Man City continued to catch Arsenal, beating them 2-1 over the weekend.
Haaland! Manchester City have trailed Arsenal in the table for so long this season. Is this resurrection day? Is this when City come back to life?
The Gunners are clinging to a 3-point lead at the top of the table with a little over a month to go in the season. One to watch with interest. Golf and Australian Hannah Green is on a hot streak in the LPGA, winning the LA Championship, her 4th win in 5 starts. She came from 6 shots behind in the final round to push it to a playoff and birdied the first hole to take the title. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to Stan Sport for the extra audio used in this episode.